That today. Well, our lesson here this morning is on your home, and it's lesson 7. Does anybody need a copy of the Sunday school lesson? Brother, where'd Brother Lynn go? Brother Tony's got it. Brother Lynn's back there. Raise your hand if you need it. I think we should have enough copies, Brother Lynn. We should. Okay. All right. If you did not get one. Okay. Now, he's making a few extra copies. Yeah, I already scanned it. Okay, good. All right, you want to come? All right, you come teach it then. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. He's making a few more copies. Why? On the home. Your home in lesson 7, and it's about finances. Well, we need that, don't we? Yeah. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That's what the scripture saying Matthew this morning. And mammon is like the world, I think, money, whatever. You'll see the scriptures here. And it says that God desires us to have a wonderful, full, prosperous life. Amen? Y'all believe that? That's what God intends for us. You just find it time and time in the scriptures that he always give good gifts to his children. Y'all know that, right? Did he not wake you up this morning and let you put your feet on the floor and get ready and come to the house of God? God desires to have a wonderful, full, prosperous life for us, for the child of God. Just get in the God's word and you'll find the answers there, right? Remember, when everything else you can't find the answers, go to God's word. It's like I don't know what Steve did. Steve did the play set out here, the swings, and then he put that monkey bar thing. I think he called that a monkey bar. Is that what they call them things? Huh? A climbing dome now? Okay. Okay. Well, we always call them monkey bars because people swing from them or something. I don't know. You just think Brother Steve could just pour all that out of the box, and it's all it's color coded, but it's all different sizes and long ones, short ones, and round ones. You got to make it. But if he didn't follow the instructions, what would that thing look like? What a mess! And that's what we make out of our lives. We can make the biggest mess out of our lives. But God gives us the instruction book how to get it back together, right? And I got tickled at him out there. He had his boys out there helping him, and he was calling out numbers and letters, and they were all handing him different things. And I saw that thing. I said, well, I can't wait to see what it looks like. But then look at it. It is put together because he went by the instructions. Now, if you're like me, I don't read instructions. I don't need those instructions. And you always come up one boat short or something didn't fit, and you got to go back and read the instructions. And if you read them to start with, what would happen? It would have been done right. You agree with that, Brother Tony? And we accomplish this by following his ways mapped out in his word. See there? That's our map. It's God's word. And then God wants us to have a strong marriage, loving husbands. I didn't get no amen from them ladies. I got the bell. And loving wives. Where's the bell now? Get that bell, Brother Lynn, and ring it. And obedience, children. Oh, I got two bells on that one. And a discipled life. That's what God wants. Part of that disciple involves our finances. Little is said about the home any longer, especially when it comes to finances of the home. Our finances can be in balance just like the rest of our home if we follow God's way. God wants us to be good stewards. Amen? Whatever God gives us. And, of course, I don't have, we got scripture down here, but also God tells us what we need to do to keep our stewardships. Remember the man came to, he came to him and said, give an account of what you've done. And he owed a lot of money. Then he began to go to people that owed him, and he began to collect and collect, and he paid. And when he paid it, and the master said, you've done wisely. You see, because he got slack in doing his stewardship. But that's where we are sometimes. But God wants us to be good stewards of whatever he gives us, and whatever he gives us what to do with, God wants us to be good with that. Okay. This, how true this is, it's not what's his is mine or what hers is mine, or it's 100%. I think Brother Rudy has drove that in, and other people have too, and I think I've heard other people comment on it. It's 100% in the home. It can't be divided here and divided there. If you do, you got to divide it home, right? Is it true? This means yes. This means yes, Brother Glenn. Don't give me that. Don't give me that look. Okay, so we got that done. So on the first one here, it says the authority of stewardship. In Psalms 24 and verse 1, said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That means God is on the throne. God is in control. Right? God's word is the final authority. But sometimes we don't want to follow that. We're human. We all make mistakes. We all get bullheaded. Well.
Well.
We got Brother Steve here today. I'm not going to ask for show of hands. But well, that's good, Brother Tony. Thank you. Remember, God owns everything. God owns everyone through creation, through salvation. Now, don't get aggravated at me. This is what Brother Rudy gave me to teach this morning. So y'all can call him or tell him when he gets back. And I'm not here to step on your toes. I'm not here to put you down. I'm here to encourage you this morning. And I hope, listen now, this is coming home. This comes home to me as well, and it comes home to Brother Rudy. He knows. So we realize that the earth is the Lord's. God's authority of stewardships. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. And then God owns everything. What gives him the right to own everything? He's the creator. Right? In the beginning was God. And without him was there was not anything made. God, Spirit, the self-existing one, the one within the self-beginning of even before time, and moved upon the universe, moved upon the earth was void, empty, and there was no sun, there was no stars, there was darkness. There was nothing until the Spirit of God moved and began to speak things in its place. You read the book of Genesis, it'll tell you, amen? And then we realize when God owns everything and God owns everyone through creation and then through salvation. Remember, there's no other way that you can be saved but through him. He has the perfect plan of salvation. Ain't that right, Brother Joe? You have told it, and witnessed it. I don't know how many times I've heard you say it over and over, how you witness to people. Tell them about there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. But look at this world today, what's going on. Everything is right in their own eyes. Yeah, and they have there's one difference between the God of the universe and the God that we serve. He's the God with a capital G, and their God is the God with a little G, the God of this world. And it's amazing how everybody has salvation, or everybody's on their way to heaven. I was reading a thing on Facebook, on the Cowboy page, and I love my dog. I love Buddy. I thank the world of Buddy. Buddy's been right there, good pet, just good service dog. Good, couldn't ask for a better dog company. Everybody loves Buddy everywhere I go. Isn't that right, Mr. Everybody? Can I pet your dog? Oh, he's such a cute dog, and he's a beautiful dog. Everybody just loves, and sometimes they call him a girl, and I said, no, his name's Buddy, not... And, oh, okay. And one day when something happens to him, he'd be gone. But I read on Facebook that somebody posted about their dog, Blue Heeler, passed away. My dog's in heaven now. No, she's not in heaven. Dogs don't go to heaven. Even though they made that cartoon, all dogs go to heaven. All dogs don't go to heaven. I believe I'm not going to get into all that, but when the New Jerusalem comes, God's going to make all new creations. Then we'll begin to see all the living creatures that God made for the good, right? Everything that God made, he saw was good, right? Even them old mean snakes. God intended for them to be good at one time, but sin came into the world. We know all that. Okay, God's good. Let's go on. And then all that you have is the Lord's. Marriage, family, finances. Now, I'm just reading what's on the page. Did y'all say the same thing? Okay, just make sure we're on the same page. And then number two here, the affection of stewardship. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some convert after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How true, how true, how true. I know that lottery got nearly $500 million again. It got over $1 billion back last year, I think. And I don't know, 2-3 people won it. And this time, somebody won it in California this time. Then I've heard two, three different people winning. But I personally knew a lady, her sister's husband was in Virginia, or West Virginia, and won a big lottery thing, like $40-50 million. He had lost, he shut his business down, laid all of his employees off, and he filed for bankruptcy, but he played the lottery one time and just won that $40-50 million. And when he won the 40 or whatever he'd won, he began to go buy all kinds of vehicles, and he bought first of all, when he said he won, he said, I'm going to pay all my employees back time, and I'm going to hire them all back. He never did. Went and bought, spent all kinds of money. go to the local bar, stay drunk, and he carried so much money on, he was robbed every week because they know he had money. You know him. Okay. And so my story is true. Yeah, there's more than one. I just use him for example. And then he bought his granddaughter a car, and she, this wrecked him. Then she carried the high school football guy out on driving wild and wrecked and killed him. See? And then she was kidnapped. No, that was another one. And they killed, anyway, she never was recovered. And his wife divorced him, and she said, I wish to God we would have tore it up. See, the love of money. It's not the money that's evil. It's the love of money. It's what the scriptures say. The love of money. Got somebody. And then it says, and he says here, love God and not money. Right? Love God, not money. Trust God, not money. God always gives you what you need even before you asked. Many, many times I've been in binds and financials, and Lord knows, I said, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need you. Lord, you know. And God always comes through because you love him first. And then, because, and it's something that how jobs and money, making money takes us away from the Lord. It does. And it happens many, 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 many times. Number three here is the accountability of stewardship. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's all God has asked us to do is be faithful to him. But if you got all these riches, you're going to not be faithful to God because you're trusting more in the money than you are God. I mean, you know, like I said, that was just one example we've used. I've heard stories after stories that they couldn't even, after people couldn't even pay their light bill after that or lose everything they got. And I know some people, in Mississippi the same way, lived in a nice mobile home, the triple wide, and nice vehicles, but he got to making money, got to staying away. Then he'd come back and he brought tractors and lands and went and bought a mansion to him, a two-story house. And his wife said, I wish he had never took that job. It took him out of church. It took him away from his family. It took him away from his wife. It took him. And then next thing you know, he was so much in debt. Then his job all of a sudden just quit. He was making too much money. He just wanted more and more. You know what? You're never satisfied. Before we go a little further, I heard a preacher say years ago, and I was probably about 25 when I heard him say this. He said, Dirk back there, and I know Dirk Wood or any of these boys, these twins back here, to say you had everything in the world. Everything. Nothing would be holding from you. Cars and houses, vacating and boats and fishing, whatever, hunting, boat, whatever your heart's desired, you had it. You got everything you want. Until there's no more to get. No more. Then you still wouldn't be satisfied. True. I heard that preacher preach that years ago at a camp meeting. You could gain all the world and its wealth, hold it in the palm of your hands, and you still wouldn't be satisfied. You want more. That's why God has asked us to be stewards of everything we've got and give an account. God don't care how much money you have or how much money you don't have. That's not what God's interest is in your soul, to save you and to make you, give you what you need before you ask. We are accountable for what we do, what he has provided. There's some people like that don't want to be accountable. It's mine. I do what I want to do. Right? Wrong. It's God's, not yours. Getting started. Live within your means. Wow, how'd that come home, right? Live within your means. First, your needs. 1 Timothy 6:8. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Right? I love fried bologna sandwiches. I love fried wiener sandwiches. Simple. A friend of mine asked me, I was in the hospital, said, what do you want? And I said, a fried bologna sandwich. And I got it. I was content with that fried bologna sandwich, Brother Joe. That's some good eating, especially when you slap some mustard and onion on it. I love it. I don't have to have that T-bone steak or that sirloin or whatever. I do love to eat stuff like that, but I'm satisfied with that fried bologna sandwich. That's what God gave me, and I'm content with it. Amen. I'm content with my little car out there. Everybody said, wow, you sure did went down, you know, that little car. And everybody keep, do you like it? Do you like it? No, I don't like it sometimes. But I'm content with it. Because that's what God allowed me to have right now. And I'm making do with it. See? Who in the right mind going to go pay $95,000 for a new truck? Or $5 a gallon for diesel. Nearly $3 a gallon for gas now. Crazy. So be content. And then and let us, the food and raiment and everything therewith, be content with it. Wants. Ah, here's our wants. 1 Peter 3:3-4. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning or the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or putting on apparel, but let it be hidden, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornaments of the meek and the quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. How true that is. I'm not going to get in trouble today. Why does somebody need... I heard that silly thing, okay? Now, don't y'all get mad at me. But I heard if somebody say, what would you do if you would win the lottery? And there's these silly things. And one said, I would buy... She told how many shoes, just on shoes upon shoes. And then she said, then I would build a house just for my shoes. Who did that? Oh, really? Oh, really? I did not know that. I said that years ago about somebody, lady, having shoes. And her husband said, amen. And that was the wrong time. I done started a fight in Sunday school. Wait till you get home. I guess you might have had 50 pairs of shoes. I'm telling you, I know a guy, I love cowboy boots. And only thing about it, he wore an 8.5 and I wore a 10. He was going to give me some of them cowboy boots. I looked at that, he must have had 200 pairs of cowboy boots in his closet. It's ridiculous. I mean, I did good with 2 pairs that I got. Let's go on. All right, now we have our needs covered, our wants, but also our desires. 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. All these desires is of the world. You know, that's how the world judges you. It's true. I used to tell people we're so poor, we spell it with 50s or 50s. That's poor. True. I know what water gravy tastes like. I know what water cornbread tastes like. I know. I never did get I didn't really have to eat sawmill gravy, but every once in a while, my daddy loved sawmill gravy. And somebody said, what's sawmill gravy? Done got you curious, done I? Sawmill gravy is not the white gravy with sausage in it, as Cracker Barrel calls it. That's not sawmill gravy. Sawmill gravy is poor man's gravy. You could not get flour back in the Depression. And they made their gravy out of cornmeal. That is sawmill gravy. And grits. You love grits, don't you, Brother Tony? I couldn't hardly eat them things. No, I do eat them every once in a while if they're done right. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Number 2, live within the divisions. That's where we ought to be living. First part belongs to God. Oh, I only got one amen, one head shake.
Do it. Well.
Well. We're having a time, aren't we? Y'all might want me to teach from now on, other than Brother Rudy. No, just kidding. Brother Rudy does a wonderful job. I'll be glad when he's back. Amen. Let's pray. Sunday school is over. No more donuts for y'all. Do what? This the hose. We're going to get the donut hose. For the world, amen. That's the things of the world. We're not supposed to love them anyway. Oh, Lord, have mercy. First part belongs to God. Malachi, I think it's right, 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he says, in tithes and offerings. Mm-hmm. This is, oh, it got real quiet in here then. I can tell you story after story after story about things like that. When you say, the story always say, rob Peter and pay Paul. But you might rob Peter to pay Paul, but you won't rob God. He'll get another way. And some of y'all already probably know that. Brother Ed said, been there and got the t-shirt. I heard a lady one time in church, she said she didn't pay her tithes, and she said she what she owed God, and said she had that radio blasting coming up down that road, and it's about that time that cop pulled her over, wrote her the ticket, and it's exactly what she owed God. Do what? Yep. I've heard other stories like it and said, I need tires on my car, God. And then go buy the tires instead of paying God first. And get a ticket and just pay what you should have paid, you know. I've heard stories like that. Have I experienced that? Yes. I have. Shame to say it, but yes, I have. You know. And the sad thing about you, never will catch up with him. Nope. But God has been good to us, has he not? He owns everything. Yeah, that's right. It got quiet in here, didn't it? Yes, they were trying to justify themselves. Where have we robbed thee? And he says, in tithes and offerings. And then we go back to the old, this is Old Testament. Somebody said, well, we're New Testament, you know. And God only requires 10%. But I can take you the New Testament. And you know what New Testament says? God loves a cheerful giver. That's what it said. That means give more than you've been given. And honestly, this is true. It's true. I have taken up many offerings, like, I don't know, over the years. And one of the men of the church took up an offering, and somebody put a dollar bill in there. Thank God for George. But he was folded up so many ways. And I don't know how. They must have been doing it through all the church. And they got that dollar bill folded down that thin. Is that paper just about? And it's folded, I don't know how many times. And the fellow, the brother standing there, and I'm starting to unroll, open it up to see what it was. I couldn't tell if it was a dollar bill or what. And when I began to unfold it, I saw it was George, and I began to holler, breathe, George, breathe, George. George was so tight, he couldn't even breathe. Was that a cheerful giver? No. And then I love the ones that going to give to God, and that dollar bill's just, it's, you have to pry it out of their hand. Or when they let go of it, it's so wrinkled in there. Brother Lynn, have you got any wrinkled dollar bills lately back here? Brother Lynn said, you ain't getting me to confess to that. Oh, wow. That's good. Government, Matthew 22:21. They say unto him, Caesar. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. What they were saying, you owe Caesar. Is it right to give, not to give to Caesar? And Jesus turned it back on him and said, what's Caesar's is his. Whose image is, remember, they used the coin in this. And he said, whose subscription's on there? Whose picture, right? Whose face? And he said, Caesar's. And he throwed it back and said, what's Caesar's is Caesar's. But what's God is God's. Render the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things are God's. Family, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. How true. That is very true. Debts, we're going to finish up here. Psalms 37:21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Difference, ain't it? Big difference. Now, I'm not going to go into those stories. Surplus, 2 Corinthians 8:14. But by any equality that they are, that now at this time your abundance may be supplied for their want, and their abundance also may be supplied for your wants, that they may be, is that right? Equalities, is that what I'm saying? Yeah. So the quality that you got is this, what he's saying is this time your abundance may be supplied for their want. That means God's going to give you what you need to help somebody else. Okay? This means yes. True. In closing, I mean, I've heard stories and stories. I've been doing mission work for over 20 years, over 25 years since the 90s. And I've heard stories upon stories. But sometimes, remember, if you ask God to do something for you, and God does it for you, and then, with Brother Tony, you get your need met, and God supplied it and abundantly and gave you other qualities, and you had whatever left over, more than enough. Some people say, well, let's throw that back for a rainy day. But you ever thought that God blessed you with more than you need to give to somebody else? Mm-hmm. Got quiet. I'd just leave you thinking on that one. But it's true. I've been there. Sometimes I needed help. Somebody always say, God bless me with more than enough, and I'm giving to you. And then sometimes God give me something more than I needed. I passed it along. Then God blesses you for that. So about being the steward and about realizing who's in charge, God. God's in control of everything. And if all fails, and you don't agree with none of this, that's between you and God. Go to His Word and start reading, and God will begin to show you. Brother Ed, dismiss us in Sunday school, please. Number 3 of the It sums it all up. Number three. Well,
how you doing?
How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Good morning. It is a good morning, page number 261. What does that say?
Oh, I can go.
I can.